Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
And food.
And food. And
everything, really.
Everything. And so, you know, it's been a busy couple of weeks.
Holy cow, it has been. You know, it's supposed to calm down in summer, and that just isn't the case in our world. Or maybe it's not supposed to calm down in summer. Maybe that was a myth once upon a time.
I think it's that you have to pack everything into all the times that it is not harvest.
Well, that's kind of true. And it's a lot of time with family. July especially, I think, is a lot of, you know, time with family and friends and barbecues and enjoying summer. So you do all that in between all the work, which is also fun.
And then with partnerships, I mean, who doesn't want to come here during their summer?
That is a great point. So, you know, we are coming off of just a fantastic couple of weeks of hosting several of our incredible partners. So thanks for asking and mentioning that. Earlier this month, we had the board of directors of Alaska Airlines in town. They really consider the Santa Rosa Airport and Sonoma County a regional hub and great outlet for them. So they were here doing their meetings, but as part of that, we worked with them to host a community reception up at Orsi Vineyards and Winery. And it was just awesome. They, you know, cannot say enough good things about Alaska Airlines and our community. We've talked about it a lot, about our leadership academy, of our vineyard employees getting the chance to go to Washington, D.C., and Alaska Airlines donating those airline tickets, which is just incredible. And so we actually were able to bring out, we had four of our leadership academy members come to the reception, two that went to Washington, D.C. last year, two that just like fresh off the trip. And they actually spoke in front of the board, which is not easy, of directors and a number of community leaders. And I'm just so proud of them. And Mirabel, who's at Munsell Vineyards, she actually in Spanish. So and then there's a whole language thing. So like add that onto any nerves you might have. Actually challenged the CEO in front of everyone to continue supporting them and the Vineyard employees and the Leadership Academy. So you go, girl. That's all I got to say.
I know. That's my inspiration
right
there.
I mean, if I'm ever nervous, I'm going to just be like, what would Mirabel do?
Yeah, what would Mirabel do? What did Mirabel do that time? And yeah, use it for inspiration. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So, you know, just an incredible human. But what a great job she did. And Gustavo from Redwood Empire Vineyard Management also spoke. And he had the chance, a few of them, including Mirabel, had a chance to actually go with Alaska Airlines behind the scenes, go down on the tarmac, go inside the plane, sit in the pilot's seat, like things none of us, I've never done. I'll just put it that way. And so Gustavo, too, whipped out his phone and he was like, to the CEO, hey, and thanks for letting me fly the plane. That was the best part. And like showed everyone this picture of him in the cockpit. And like people were going kind of nuts. So like, I think a lot of the board members had not ever been in the cockpit of an Alaska Airlines plane. So that was pretty cool, too.
That was pretty cool. Did the CEO's face just kind of go, like, white?
You could kind of see everyone, like, start to inch closer to be like, is that a legitimate photo of him, like, in, you know, in the cockpit?
And that's amazing.
And it was. So shout out to Gustavo as well. So and then we follow that up literally the next day. We had the leadership team from John Deere fly in to talk more about supporting high-value crops across California, but specifically wine grapes in our backyard. And what a wonderful, just, again, we had a dinner tour, a little bit of education about wine growing here and asking them for more support as well. So thank you, all partners. How about that?
Okay. And then, you know, you have some other events coming up, I think you might want to give a mention to.
Well, you know, we wouldn't want to get bored.
No. So, no, I mean, keep the pace.
Keep the pace. So transitioning right along with the John Deere conversation, they are coming back, part of their team. On Friday this coming week for our Sustainable Wine Growing Field Day. They're going to be here talking a little bit about our collaboration with them and are one of our three pilot farmers or pilot partners, including Wilbur Ellis and Agrology, that will be showcasing what we're doing together and the things we're trying to learn with our pilot farmers here in Sonoma County. And then super exciting, both Mirabel and Gustavo and their 18 peers and their Leadership Academy class will be graduating on Friday over lunch in front of their families, in front of their employers. And so super, super excited about this. And I'm going to do a spoiler alert that they're actually going to be also getting the $1,000 stipend each from American Ag as a congratulations on their graduation. So talking about a third incredible partner in that Go American Egg.
Oh my God, how many boxes of Kleenex do you have for
that
event?
I know. I might sell those for donations to the foundation to start planning the next DC trip.
Yeah, do you need another box?
Bring it all together, right? This is going to be a lot of money for this box of Kleenex. Okay. So lots of exciting stuff, basically.
It's very inspiring. I love it all. So when we come back, we are going to have a great conversation as well with somebody very inspiring in our community when we come back on The Good Stuff. Back on The Good Stuff. Today, we are joined in studio by our guest, Jennifer Beretta, fourth generation dairy farmer in Santa Rosa, board member of the California Cattle Council, current member of the American Farm Bureau leadership class, and probably a whole lot more.
All things ag, I think, here.
All things ag. Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you very much. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, and I mean, I have to say, it's been really fun getting to know Jennifer over the last couple of years through Farm Bureau, Sonoma County Farm Bureau Board. So she was first and foremost a leader in our community here, and then has continued just to go on and take on bigger and broader positions, really supporting agriculture, which I can't say enough about how that then comes back to support Sonoma County Ag. So it's so important to have folks in our community take on and be willing to serve in those roles to support sort of the broader picture of what everyone's doing and everyone's livelihoods, really. So welcome. So maybe just start and tell us a little bit about your family and growing up on a dairy and what that was like.
I'm fourth generation dairy farmer in West Sonoma County. We border Sebastopol, where our dairy is. I work alongside my dad, who still owns the dairy, my brother, who does all of our mechanic work, because I do break some things, I got to be honest. and then I take care of all of our herd health, our organic paperwork, and we're extremely fortunate. My grandpa still lives on the dairy. He has a little golf cart that he comes out and makes sure we're still doing things, to his par. So, and we do have a fifth generation. My nephew is 13 and has already told me when he turns 18, I will be getting a new job. So very aware.
Wow. You're on a 5-year retirement plan now. Holy cow. That's amazing.
So give us a little bit more about, you mentioned your grandfather, but who was the generation above him? Did they start out in dairy?
So my great-grandpa actually had a dairy in Petaluma and then bought the ranch in Santa Rosa in 1948. He then had his three sons, my grandpa and two brothers. And actually, when my great-grandpa passed, my grandpa's two brothers decided they didn't want to be in the dairy industry anymore. And the cows were sold. And then when my dad was, I believe, 15, 16 years old, my grandpa looked at him and said, "Do you want to start back up again?" And so my dad always says how he was milking cows on his project grad instead of attending project grad on his graduation night.
Wow.
But it was something that my grandpa loved and my dad loved, and he and they have instilled that in myself and my brother and even my nephew.
So talk about what is the business? So how many cows do you have, and what do you do with the milk, and how does all that work? Talk to us about it. We spent a lot of time talking about grape growing, so we need to go to the beginning.
I have
of what
so
it's
many
like.
Questions.
So many questions. Yeah.
We milk 300 cows, Jerseys and Holsteins, so the black and white and the brown ones, on about 400 acres. We actually rent about 120 acres of state-owned land that was turned in for tiger salamander mitigation. So great partnership with the state of California Fish and Wildlife. It's a huge fire mitigation. We're seeing those flowers grow and obviously keeping that ground really great for that tiger salamander. We ship our milk to Clover, Sonoma. We've been shipping there since 2019, when we used to ship to Wallaby Yogurt. Mm-hmm. And then that business was bought by Danone White Wave. And then we lost our contract, actually. And at that moment, we kind of thought, what are we going to do? I really wanted to do something on farm. But ultimately, every day, 1,800 gallons that we milk and produce has to leave our dairy. So we knew that signing on with Clover was our best bet, and that was a huge and grateful, fortunate contract that came our way, or not sure what we would have done at that point. We went organic in 2006, and really the reason was it was either sell out or, you know, go organic, because here in the North Coast, our dairies are pasturing. That's the entire organic rule, really. We have to be out for 120 days minimum. So it really fits that niche market here in this North Coast. Mm-hmm. That's why 90% of our dairies are organic, because they knew that was the market for up here in the North Coast.
And does that organic piece make it more sustainable, like as a business, because the money that you're getting for the milk is higher?
Yeah, it was. So it used to be a really big difference in price point compared to conventional and organic. But the really nice thing is the sustainable part is our price is pretty much set. We know what it's going to be. We're on the conventional market. It's kind of a roller coaster ride. It's set by the Chicago market. What you're getting paid is what it was traded on the month prior. And so it was this really big roller coaster ride. So on the organic side, even though it does fluctuate, we have a signed contract. We kind of know what we're getting for that 6 months, and we can really, shift things within the business model if need be.
So I've always been curious. I mean, that western sort of edge of Sonoma County and even into Marin County has always been sort of traditionally where a lot of dairy was raised. What makes that area so ideal for it?
The cool nature, the rolling hills, there's so much land. I didn't mention I'm really fortunate. I have dairy on both sides of my family. My mom has a ranch in West Marin. And so, you know, you think about going out to Point Reyes, and it's those rolling hills, that pasture land those cows can be out on. Those families were there for generations. My family out there has been there for 6 generations, 100 years. And so that's why that West Petaluma, that West County is so ideal for, you know, milking cows and just raising cattle in general.
Well, I'm just curious. Can you just share with us what is a day in the life of being a dairy farmer? I mean, because it's so different. I mean, you sort of rinse and repeat every day, versus in wine grapes, we have very specific seasons of our harvest where things different happen.
But I think there's no days off is sort of
well,
my
I
assumption.
Definitely know that.
No yeah. days off, no.
And she has to leave in like a minute. So,
A day in a life, it really just, you know, it depends on the operation. But for us, we actually start milking cows at 2 a.m. We have 3 full-time employees that we house on the dairy. And so they start at 2 a.m. They finish milking at about 6 a.m. and then they go home for a nap, I call it, because they don't start back up until 2 p.m. that afternoon. And then that's when my dad and I and my brother will get there, depending on the time of year. In the wintertime, it's about 7. We'll feed cows, feed calves. I check all of our calving pens, our calves, our cattle. On every other Thursday, we have the vet there, so I do a herd check every other Thursday. And then in the spring and summer months, we're actually irrigating right now with City of Santa Rosa reclaimed wastewater. So we are up at about 5. I'm trying to change my irrigation line so I can get a afternoon set. Mowing fields, changing pasture fields for our cattle. And then just honestly, it depends too on what kind of phone call you get that morning. If you don't have one from any of the employees, you're doing good. But sometimes it does, you know, you bob and weave if something comes up, or for me, you know, if I have to go to a meeting, maybe it's an earlier start or a later evening to get those duties done.
So why 2 a.m.?
It's just when we've always started milking. Cows are milked twice a day. And my dad likes to make sure that our guys have that afternoon to, or that morning to sleep, and can maybe get up and have lunch with their kids or be done by 5, 6 p.m. and have time with their families. So that's just how we do our, you know, our milking shift.
So it's really to benefit the humans that you interact with.
Yeah, that's always been my dad's goal, and my grandpa's too.
Amazing.
So talk about Holsteins and Jerseys. Why have both, and are there differences besides the colors?
We used to be all Holsteins, and when my dad met my mom, her dairy was all Jerseys.
Oh, so this is a meeting, a marriage of the cows and herds and of your mom and dad.
But what's really nice about the Jerseys and Holsteins is Holsteins produce more milk. That's what they're known for. Jerseys produce more butterfat, so that quality of milk. And we have over time actually started crossbreeding those two. So you get that hybrid vigor. And it's in every industry, plants and vineyards, and that, you know, you're making that better cow. And so for us, they graze better. That Jersey is a little bit smaller, so she doesn't eat as much. And one of our fields is about 5/10 of a mile. So those Jerseys are walking to the farthest field, and the Holsteins stay on the shorter end of our property. And it's just a really nice mix. And also my nephew is still showing involved in, you know, our county fair. So he likes the Holsteins and Jerseys. So we got to make sure we keep them both around.
And how many babies do you have a year typically?
So we are calving year round. So if you figure we have 300 cows, we're having about 300 babies a year. And it can be half bulls, half heifers. I'm actually in what's called a non-growth mode. So I actually work with our semen sales rep, and she pulls all of my computer data, and I breed my high cows to what's called sex semen. So it's hopefully going to have a girl. And then my middle cows are just regular conventional semen, so it can be a girl or a boy. And then the bottom cows, I'm breeding them to Angus because the beef on dairy right now is actually a very high market. And so to sell those calves to a calf raiser, gives us a little bit higher profit on that calf. And then I don't have to have that many calves on my end because I don't need any more than 300 milking cows right now.
I would have never thought on the show we'd have a, what do you call it, a semen selector or something?
A semen salesperson.
Yeah.
That's a job.
That is a whole,
a very important job.
Clearly.
I imagine.
Clearly. So. We're definitely not editing that out.
There's so many other places we could take that question.
Yeah, so we'll just maybe move on.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, I mean, the California Cattle Council, because your perspective from that, I mean, I'm curious, like, you're selling the calves to, you know, other types of farmers. Are they typically in Sonoma County as well, or you have to kind of go broader?
We definitely are going broader. We have someone, we do sell all of our male calves. One, it's a huge, the male calves can get really mean as they get older, so it's a big safety thing for us on the dairy. But they are going out of county. We have a person that comes every Sunday that picks them up. And then anything that's over the 500-pound weight is getting the dollar deducted out of our check that goes to California Cattle Council. And what's really neat about California Cattle Council is it's a little different than California Milk Advisory Board that kind of promotes the end product like wine grape. Mm-hmm. We are promoting the live product, so we can do like fire mitigation. One of our biggest funding sources have gone to California Cattlemen's, and they do a lot of help farmers with regulatory issues. Mm-hmm. So that money's key for folks that maybe don't have a agency within their own county. Mm-hmm. As well as we've done a lot of school nutrition funding. So we have two big meetings a year at California Cattle Council, and then we meet kind of quarterly depending on what comes up to do the grants. And actually we have a grant that Sonoma County Farm Bureau and Western United Dairies got, and we on Wednesday we will be hosting a tour and going to Valley Forge Cheese for lunch and just showing people dairy.
Mm. I know, amazing. Because I worked in the dairy industry for a little bit for dairy management, the dairy National Dairy Checkoff Program, and the craziness that a lot of kids still, and probably a lot of adults, you know, think milk comes from a store. Just like they think wine just showed up and, you know, they don't really understand where their food comes from. So doing tours like that and that education piece is so important, even today and even in California, which is, you know, the largest egg state essentially in the country. So
right.
I think that's awesome.
I'm just curious, you know, to that end, like I'm just curious about, you know, from your fourth generation perspective, like how have you seen kind of the demand for milk? Is it volatile? Does it go up and down a lot? Are people drinking less milk?
So we've definitely seen a trend on the fluid milk going down. And I think that's just the way our society is. We're faster. You're not sitting eating cereal. I remember before school, before we caught the bus, we were having our bowl of cereal. Mm-hmm. We did see during COVID when kids were home and families were home that uptick in fluid milk. But now that we've kind of gotten back to normal, I call it, you still see the uptick in cheese, butter, keto diet. They have, you know, come out that fat is good for you. So we've definitely seen, you know, cottage cheese, making cottage cheese ice cream, or the trends these days are amazing. But we have seen the uptick in those products instead of the fluid milk.
Yeah, and I think that's been a long trend line that we've seen for just drinking milk. And also, probably a lot of the dynamics even changing around, you know, do families sit around a dinner table anymore and have a full meal and a glass of milk with that? And so I think some ways, maybe the wine industry's benefited from that because maybe you're pouring a glass of wine with your meal or your happy hour.
Right.
But,
right.
But we do love to have that wine with cheese, especially. So
it pairs very nicely.
It does pair very nicely.
but it gives you such an interesting perspective, I would think, on food trends. I mean, you touch so many different places in the grocery store and on people's tables. You really get some good insight, I would think.
Yeah, it's amazing, the food trends. I mean, I'm on TikTok because I help on dairy influencing, and to see them blending up cottage cheese and to think that that was such a terrible thing to eat when you were like 8.
Yeah.
So now
don't
it's
make
like
me
the
do
new
that.
Thing. Yeah. So which is great for the dairy industry, but it's been amazing.
Dairy influencers. This is a whole other topic
I know.
I think we might need to get into.
I think for sure. Sadly, we have to take a break in a second, but we're going to come back and ask you all about being a dairy influencer.
Good stuff with our guest, Jennifer Beretta, fourth generation dairy farmer, member of the California Cattle Council. And we'll talk about your membership with the American Farm Bureau leadership class. But we did want to get back to this dairy influencers
and
on TikTok. That you're following. Are you also contributing to some of the content on TikTok?
I am. I definitely have dived into some TikTok content. I'm not as good as most of these influencers, but it's been really fun to share our dairy story, as well as even I do have my nephew on there a few times. He's really the comical one. So.
I love that. The next generation.
Yeah.
And what do people respond to? Like, what have you noticed? Do they really love seeing like the baby cows? Do they like seeing the milking process? Do they love the beautiful scenery of where the cows are grazing? Like, what are they into?
What I've definitely noticed is the baby calves. That's been one that just as I've followed folks, as well as what I've posted, have gotten the most views and the most likes. But the other one is out in the West County, the beautiful oak trees. And I have a lot of sunset, sunrise videos I've put in there with, you know, good music and so on. And so that one has really taken a lot of people, they love it. A lot more comments on that. I've also been really selective on how I use my music. I was fortunate to attend the Napa Valley Country Goes Vineyard through American Ag Credit. They asked me to go over there as an invite. And I watched Seth Hastings, and he was a singer, and I loved his story. And I posted his song to my video, and he actually commented back. And so that was really neat.
Yeah.
So to have those type of reactions is actually really fun and really neat to have.
So do you see, you know, from your nephew's perspective or from his generation, does he have friends that also want to get into farming?
You know, I think he goes to Tomales Middle School. His friend group is a lot of agriculturists. So I think all those kids are definitely going to be in ag in some way. If he would have stayed and gone to the Spassible schools, I don't think those kids no ag, you know, he would have been kind of the odd man out. So during COVID, that's why my sister moved him actually to Tomales. He was going to Apple Blossom. But his friends love being out, you know, and love hearing what he has to do and seeing his hard work. And so I think there's just a difference. They may not want to do it, but they do appreciate what he does.
No, it's super important to kind of continue to get that support from a young age, for sure. So I think, tell us a little bit. So you've been on the Sonoma County Farm Bureau board. You were chair of the board. Or president chair, leading the board.
Same thing.
Leading the board. And then I know you've gone on to sort of a California leadership, and now you're part of this American Farm Bureau leadership class. So just maybe take us through kind of your evolution and then why you've kept going and what are you learning and what does it all entail?
So I've been involved in Sonoma County Farm Bureau since I was probably 9. We started attending their ag days, bringing baby calves to the ag days where we host about 5,000 students. And I knew, and also, you know, volunteering and cleaning up after crab feed and all of the events since my dad was on the board. And just watching my dad, I kind of knew this is what I wanted to do. I was very involved in my high school's Future Farmers of America program. And after college, I came back and myself and Taylor Sayers actually started our Young Farmers and Ranchers program back up. And then at the time, there was an opportunity to get on the Sonoma County Farm Bureau Board. I jumped on and I was full steam ahead. So once I got to sit at California Farm Bureau on their board through the California Young Farmers and Ranchers chair, when I was chair, you get an opportunity to sit on the big board. I also saw a lot more of the opportunities that were there at American Farm Bureau. And when the Partners in Ag Leadership, PALS class came open, I applied because I knew that was my next step, and not just my next step at Farm Bureau, but my next step in leadership. I would love to be an officer at California Farm Bureau, or even, you know, whether that be a county supervisor or something like that back at the county. I knew that's how it's going to help me.
That's amazing. And it is amazing. I think have a vision of seeing not only the side of your day-to-day, which is the farming piece, but also a willingness to really serve the community and defined however in Sonoma County or broader is, it's a lot of gratitude for that because that's not easy.
No, it's not. Not everyone sees everything that we do, but you have to remember that it's not for that visual. It's one, it's making my heart full, and it's saving not only my industry, but agriculture. So
talk about just the leadership class and the program, and who are some of your peers, and what are you learning, and what time commitment, and what do you do? What is this
So program? It is a two-year program. We just finished our first module. We got to go to New York City, and each class, my class, our focus is on labor. And so through every module that we do, we will focus on labor. So with our first module, it was kind of go meet media. So we got to go to Wall Street Journal. We actually met one of my classmates. His brother works for LinkedIn. Got to meet him and how LinkedIn works. You know, I always thought it's just how to find a job. But actually, there's some really neat ways to post and educate folks on there about your industry. And then we got to do a little scavenger hunt and just go experience New York. I will tell you, if I probably won't go back. It was really fast for me, and I just want to stay at the dairy. But it was a really neat experience to meet everybody. And then our next module coming up is in D.C. In September, and that's where we're going to get to do what we learned about labor and how to tell our story, and now go and lobby and talk to our representatives and so on. And then in March, we will go to Chicago. And then I found out we get an international tour.
Oh, amazing.
So we get to pitch where our class will pitch where to go. And basically, we'd like to go somewhere that has a good labor, whether that be a guest worker program here to the U.S. or maybe they have a good guest worker program that folks can come over. So now I'm going to do some research on where we should go. I've never been anywhere out of the country, so this will be really fun.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I have the I have the support from California Farm Bureau. They had to write me a letter, Shannon Douglas, our president, to even attend the interview process of this. And then just obviously my County Farm Bureau being supportive and my dad and brother that I can leave the dairy for a few days.
So. Right.
I love what you said about New York, because I've taken my husband, Steve, but we've been in New York, and I'm always like pointing out, like, look, it's the Empire State Building. And he's like, how do you think they got that crane in here? How do you look at that truck? And look at that tractor. Did you realize they'd have tractors in the middle of like New York City?
That's
and
amazing.
How are they doing this construction work? And there's scaffolding there. And I'm like, oh my God, that's not the point of being in New York City. I'm just going to confirm that all farmers are like, how are they doing this? They're like deconstructing what's happening in these narrow roads with crazy traffic and people all over the place. So yeah, similar experience.
Yeah, I watched a big rig go by with like concrete on it, and I went, I would never want to be a driver here.
Right.
Okay. Like how they do it is amazing.
In general, in the smallest of cars or bikes,
any car,
I would not want to be a driver
vehicle
in New York City. Yeah. Let alone literally working like that.
So just to get back to some of the peers, though, in your leadership program, I mean, are a lot of them in grapes? I mean, is it a wide variety of ag?
It's a wide variety. So there's 10 of us throughout the United States. Most of them are east of the Mississippi, actually, because when we went to New York, I had the hardest time transitioning. We do have one in Oregon, and he does tulips. It's amazing. They do a big tulip festival. We have one in North Carolina that does apples, sells to Gerber. So that's been actually really neat to like learn what you have to do to sell to Gerber. And then most are just cattle ranchers, and some grain. Actually, they own a grain mill as one of the girls in my class.
That's a really diverse group. I guess American Farm Bureau, so ag all over the country.
That's true. That's got to be fascinating. Would you say, I mean, at least in some of these issues that you're tackling, like labor, you all have more in common than you don't?
Yes. When we did, so we had to do a 2-minute speech on labor. We also just, our interviews throughout the whole 3 days were on labor. And it was amazing how a lot of our stories were the same. Even if that item didn't affect me, and I'll give the example of like the H-2A workers. Like, I cannot use them at the dairy because we don't want them to touch back. But a lot of the folks that are in my class use them. Mm-hmm. And to see that the system is, you know, just not broken, but there could be fixers in it. And so even though I can't use it, they still have issues using it. So it was just really neat to see, like, it's all the same. We all have the same issues.
Yeah, and learning about H-2A clearly brings a lot of value back to Sonoma County because a lot of the grape growers here use the H-2A program.
Yeah,
so
and
it's
I use a
in
lot
your
of,
community. It,
so. And I use a lot of the examples I've learned from my grape grower fellows on Farm Bureau. Yeah. So thank you to them for all that they've taught me just so far. So,
okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Jennifer Beretta. On the Good Stuff with Jennifer Beretta. And Jennifer, maybe you could tell us a little bit about how listeners can support the dairy industry, get involved with Farm Bureau. What can they do to help ag?
So definitely on the, you know, supporting the dairy industry is buying local, you know, Clover products, Strauss products, anything local is going to help our local dairy industry. So definitely doing that. I would say on the Farm Bureau side, you know, you don't have to be a farmer to be a Farm Bureau member. We have our Farm Bureau membership as a voting member. And then we also have something called the associate membership where you get all of our e-blasts, all of our papers. And it's $75, $78. And you are, you know, it's like being a friend of Farm Bureau. And what I think people forget is when you live in rural Sonoma County, we're still fighting for those issues as well. Like you think of septic, the tree ordinance, I could go on for days. so you don't have to be a farmer to be a Farm Bureau member. And then if anybody is free on Sunday, we are doing a Sonoma County Farm Fest at Olympias Valley. You can go to the Sonoma County Farm Bureau website and register. You do have to pre-register. But if you just want to come out and learn about ag, you know, join those types of events and be part of the ag community.
Yeah, and in Sonoma County Wine Growers will be there pouring some wine and doing some education on wine grape growing, too. It's a great event to do a broader, like, all ag together in the same sort of community event. So I'm super excited for that. And then how do they find you on TikTok? Because they might want to see the baby calves and sunsets and sunrises.
If you go to @dairygirl, or you can put in the hashtags CA Dairy, hashtag CA Dairy, California Dairy, will pop up a bunch of my posts. Definitely try to use the hashtags to make sure that it goes farther as what I've been learning. So
that's so great. So, and then what's ahead? What are your goals, visions for the future? What's next?
So what's next? I definitely would love to do, you know, just, we're going to talk about it all. On the farm side, I would love to, one, make sure that the dairy stays for my nephew. And that's why I continue to be involved in all the things that I'm involved in. And maybe do something on farm. There are a few grants I'd love to do, maybe like a soft serve ice cream or even just a farm store. When we have our tours, everyone wants to buy product. So maybe there's something I can do with Clover to have their product there and folks can come in during tours and buy Clover product. And then on a leadership front, I would love to be on the California Farm Bureau board in some way. But ultimate goal is I'd love to come back and serve our county on the Board of Supervisors or even, I mean, I'm out of the city limits, so it doesn't work. But something for leadership here in our county. I think that we need more agriculturalists on these boards to, you know, just make sure our voice is heard.
And what's the, like, the biggest thing you've learned in some of these leadership roles or any advice for your nephew and his peers up and coming and want to be farmers or work and support agriculture?
One of the biggest things is if you don't attend a meeting, or you don't call a farmer, then you have no room to bitch, and excuse my French, because, you know, I think that's what we hear so often is, well, I don't know, or I didn't do this, or we didn't do this, say at Farm Bureau, you didn't do good enough. Well, did you call us? Are you a member? Did you reach out to that representative to make sure your voice was heard? Because that's what we're there for. And so I think the biggest thing is keep your head up. And I know there's folks that are going to not agree with you, but you just got to keep full steam ahead.
Stay engaged. I mean, I think that's an important life lesson. Like, you don't get to complain about the things that you're not willing to put time into, right? Like, if you put some effort in, then you have a chance to actually have a real perspective.
Right. And I know it's a lot of time. I mean, I am bobbing and weaving through my daily job to make a meeting. And but I do it because I do it for the better of Sonoma County agriculture and California dairy industry.
Yeah. So important. Well, thank you for all the work you do. I think it's, so, like I said, so important. And I've seen firsthand when in my brief time on the Sonoma County Farm Bureau board, just how much you give back to the community, and it's really meaningful work. And so if you don't hear it enough, we really appreciate you and everything you do to support Sonoma County agriculture.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And thank you for having me on today.
I know. It's been super fun. So maybe just a couple more. So we have your TikTok handle. How do people find Sonoma County Farm Bureau? Do we have that website?
If you go to SonomaCountyFarmBureau.com. We also have a Facebook page and Instagram. Just search in the search engine for Sonoma County Farm Bureau.
That's great. And then Clover products to support Beretta Dairy.
Yeah. Clover, you can follow them on Instagram too, at Clover Sonoma, and see all the wonderful families that ship milk to them.
And your favorite flavor of ice cream before we leave?
Oh, cookie dough, for
sure. Cookie dough.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Well, there you go. It is about the good stuff, so we thought we should end on that.
There's
note.
A lot of milk involved in cookie dough, so
and some cookies, which is awesome.
Yes.
Well, so good. Well, thank you, Jennifer, for being a guest today. We're really excited that you were here and got to learn a little bit more about the bigger picture of agriculture here in Sonoma County and across the U.S.
Thank you.
Well, Carissa, that was kind of fun and interesting to do something outside of grapes.
I know, for sure. I mean, agriculture is so important to Sonoma County, such a part of our DNA that it's really nice to support all farmers here. And I mean, as you know, we've had the Bookers on the show before and others that, I mean, a lot of dairy men and women have transitioned into wine grapes or also farm wine grapes or also have another crop. And so really important to understand what it looks like in our backyard.
Yeah. Well, and I love her perspective of just meeting with so many other farmers around the U.S. And sharing.
She, like, gets it done.
Sharing their, yeah, I know. Wow.
I know. She's pretty amazing. And it made me kind of hungry for ice cream and cheese, just be honest.
Okay.
All
so
the
you,
things.
So you asked her her favorite ice cream flavor. What's yours?
You know, I like just good old-fashioned chocolate chip or mint chocolate chip.
Okay.
I'm kind of like an OG.
Okay.
Like the original flavors.
Well,
how about you?
At least you didn't say vanilla.
Well, yeah,
or
no.
Praline, or praline.
No, yes, no. I don't really like nuts in my ice cream. Or my cookies, actually.
Oh, okay.
I like them separate.
Okay, well then I'm...
The solo nut, but not the the in.
Yeah.
How about you? What do you like?
I think chocolate and orange. I really like those flavors together.
Really?
So I'm not
sure. That was unexpected.
Is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I like those two flavors together.
I feel like I could find you some really good truffles now, too.
Could you?
I might.
I think I would like that very much. But we also can't live by ice cream alone. We need some wine. So what are you thinking?
Well, I think we've been talking about giving some shout outs to our dairymen turned wine grape growers. I'm going to have a Carnoli Pinot Noir this week from the Russian River Valley. They're off of Llano Road. And just kind of a shout out to Dominic, who's been on our board for a number of years, and his wife, Linda. So
okay.
Top that.
Well, all right.
I'm not going to have it with
I'll
my ice cream,
you
though.
And raise you by a William Salem Booker Pinot Noir.
Love the Bookers.
One of our first guests on this very show. Wonderful people. Were in the dairy business for a long time, but I don't think they are anymore. Have really devoted themselves completely to wine grapes. So, as you speak of, have made that complete transition.
Yeah. And I'm going to have some cheese with it. I might do some Valley Forge cheese with my Pinot Noir because... That sounds delicious.
Well, she mentioned Valley Forge, and that's all I
know.
Can
that's
think about
totally.
Now.
I was having the same moment, but most importantly, folks out there, come tomorrow, come hang out with us at the Sonoma County Ag kind of community festival. You can find out more information on Farm Bureau's website, which is sonomafb.org. sonomafb.org. So go to the website, and that's where you can sign up and join us tomorrow for all things ag in Sonoma County.
All right. Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.